Phil, get out of here.
Austin, is it better with this door closed?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Much better.
Not a good idea.
Okay.
Why not?
This. Stop playing.
Good evening, and welcome to the Cycles of Change radio program. I'm your host, David Katzmeyer, coming to you live, as I do every Thursday night at 8 p.m. New York time, 5 p.m. Pacific. Tonight, we have a wonderful panel of guests with us as we address the question, what are the cycles of life? What comes to mind when we ponder that question? Not only what are the cycles of life, but what are our perceptions of them? With us tonight, we have Mitchell Raven of A Better World Radio and A Better World TV. We have Paul Slatkis of GoodNewsPlanet.com. And we have Franco Moschetti, a playwright, director, and actor with a play coming up this August. We're going to talk about all of these things. We're going to talk about A Better World, The Goodnews Planet, and the upcoming plays. But before we do, what are the cycles of life? A general question, but something that is universal. So with that in mind, I would like to turn to the first of our panelists tonight, Mitchell Raven of abetterworld.tv. Mitchell, what comes to mind to you when you hear the general question, what are the cycles of life?
Because I'm a cyclist, Dave, in New York City for many, many decades at this point, many moons, I first do think of the fact that I'm cycling all the time.
True.
Number one. Number two, I actually think of the tides. I think of the movement of water in and out being governed by the moon. And even though I was born in New York City, I was raised by the water in Connecticut.
Mm.
So for a lot of my life, listening to the lapping on the shore of water and looking at the beautiful moon became a very important image for me.
Yeah.
So it was one of my first chances to experience directly what tides feel like,
Yes. Literally
on my body.
Yes.
And so that always became and has been a representation, a symbol of cycles to me.
Very beautifully put, because nature is replete with cycles, and we can't escape it, but sometimes we can be closer to the manifestations that ever remind us of it, the cycles of the moon, the tides of the ocean, and so forth.
Now, you're reminding me now that one of the other earlier recollections I have is a result of the movement of tides and the movement of the moon and the cycles of the moon is my experience of back then girls. And I, like so many boys of my age back at the...
There's people listening, Mitchell.
I'm going to try to keep it clean, Paul. What kind of show is this anyway? Oh, no.
It's internet radio. Nobody's listening anymore.
Yeah, right. They're watching. Right.
Yeah. It's better on internet TV because I look better on the radio.
I was early in my life, as maybe of all of us here in this panel, got to experience the cycles of a girl through the menses. They really should call them the womenses, but instead it's the menses. And yes, I know we too have cycles. Maybe not as pronounced, but I did get a chance to experience the ups and downs, the ins and outs, and the emotional flows. And I wonder if that contributed to some extent to my becoming later in life a psychotherapist.
Well, I believe you were very sensitive to that because I know that you have a lot of sympathy and even a lot of empathy for people.
Yeah.
You have a successful practice as a psychotherapist. You have quite a training and an education, which is listed on your website. But I just know from talking to you personally that you have a lot of compassion with people. And I can believe that you were sensitive to that and
Yes. Develop
something that even men can have emotional intelligence, but often it's learned from their experiences with women.
Well, that's right. That's very true. I got a lot of training from my mother when I was about 2 to 3 years old, and I think it stuck with me. Now I understand that what she helped me to develop, Dave, is a lot of mirror neurons. And neurons of this sort allow us to experience empathy and sympathy. with other people as though we're experiencing life in their shoes.
And the sympathetic vibrations would be an appropriate term.
So you could almost say that there's a cycling taking place between people in a relationship. So there's an up, a medium, and a down in our conversations, and certainly in male-female and other relationships.
So you mean that a conversation and a relationship can take on a life of its own?
Yes. I would say that it has its own cycle, its own rhythm,
indeed,
its own biorhythm, really.
Yeah. So there's a fractal relationship in all things in life.
That's correct.
Great and
exactly.
Small.
A relationship between what's above and what's below, what's in, what's out, and the micro and the macro.
Very well said. Very well said. Thank you, Richard Raven, on that. And you made some very good points. Well, Paul, we are addressing the cycles of life. What comes to you? You have a lot of experience as a producer in television. You worked for CBS and PBS for 14 years. You work on many, many shows. The list is long. So it's interesting to talk to someone of your unique experience. What comes to mind to you when you ponder, what are the cycles of life?
Well, I think actually, you know, we had the wonderful opportunity to speak before, David, on your show, and that was a big honor. And I had mentioned to you that word cycle had some bearing on my life back in my graduate study. And I had written a paper called The Bean Cycle. And it was I would put a word like, and then I would put an arrow, a line, and an arrow facing this way, and an arrow facing that way. You know, I sort of always, you know, what reminds me of this, the neutrons and the protons, I think they all collide and they hit each other and so on and so forth. So actually, I believe that, or I feel that every second, every moment, we're connecting, you know, all together.
Or are we colliding?
Are colliding or connecting, either way. It's just like Coney Island. And the fact of the matter is, it's like bumper cars, you know, we're human bumper cars, banging, knocking, you know, so on. You know, I think that Joker guy said, and maybe wonder about that. We change our skin
every
skin, and yeah,
our bones.
And then there's people that talk about electrical currents in our body. You know, we're connecting in that manner. So, and then there's people that say we don't know what the heck is going on anyway. Period. Zero. No matter what words come out of our mouth. Yeah. Or what scientific, some people say, are facts that might not even be facts 3 years from now. So I don't know. I think you just have to have a party and have fun and then enjoy as much as you can your experience with each other, with yourself. And, you know, we're all searching and we're all, you know, trying to have a good relationships with each other and with ourselves, and I think the cycles of life are just very specific, very momentary. At the moment, that's part of the cycle, and if you can live this cycle, good. You know, the future is history. Past is history. The future is a mystery, and today's the present, and that's what I call it. So
that's true.
It's a gift, and that's a present. So I just the cycle is now new. Every 2 seconds,
everything is novel.
Everything is a novel and whatever.
Yeah.
So I think it's all good.
It is all good, and we must remember the spontaneity of life. You know, John Lennon said, "Life is what happens to you while you're busy making other plans." But in the process of us plotting out the courses of our lives as we map them out, but we got to remember that no plan survives the battlefield. And in the process of being spontaneous, we can consider that life really is a carnival and there is a Ferris wheel. Sometimes we're at the top of the Ferris wheel, sometimes we're at the bottom, but when you're in at either end of it, remember that thing is still turning. And as we live a life with the confluence of cycles, it can seem like a roller coaster going up and down and around. But it keeps on moving. We got to move with it. And remember, that's just part of the process. So you hit on something really important. We got to remember to be happy. Let's not forget the heart when we get involved in our heads. Let's not forget the our heads as we are building the walls and the bricks of every building and civilization and culture and nation in which we live. We got to put it all together. It's a three-legged stool.
Very true.
Okay.
If I could just say that the heart itself operates in cycles. The way it beats and the way it thinks, we can measure it in terms of coherence, not just the two hemispheres of the brain, but the parts of the heart.
The two hemispheres
of the heart. There are actually four. The chambers, not cavities, but both the yin and the yang. And so they are working in a harmonious way, which allows for the happiness to really become effervescence.
What is circadian rhythms?
About the day. Circa, Latin for around, dia, day. Circadian rhythms that last about a day.
God.
I
change it.
Okay, it works for me. The cycle of God. Well, we are made in the image of God, and in this fractal universe, we are like cells in a great organism, said Guru Maharaji Mahesh Yogi. So really, it's true. Self-realization means if you realize the rhythms within your own self, you really are realizing the world around you and the God that created us, perhaps. But I don't want to get too religious.
You're being spiritual.
Ah, thank you very much. Yeah, you know, that's a nice neutral term.
And the word spiritual has within it the idea of spiral. So you have reiterated the notion of cycle.
That's true. And cycles go around and around, but move forward at the same time. So it really is a spiral, like Dr. Don Beck will tell us, with spiral dynamics and so forth. Franco is a wonderful actor, director, and playwright. Am I guessing? No. I had the privilege of attending one of his plays earlier here in Manhattan, When Yellow Were the Stars of Earth, and it's one of the most moving plays that I have seen, and it's everyone in the audience felt the same way. But Arjuna, you're a man of the world. You moved here from Rome. You're now living in one of the greatest cities of the world, but then I'm biased, New York City. And Arjuna, you're a man of great depth. Don't want to embarrass you. But I want to ask you, what comes to your mind when you think of what are the cycles of life?
Well, I think Mitchell hands up really in the note, which I could connect to, the meaning of spirituality. I'm very close to that world, personally. And I've been witness not so long ago, the fact that what's really happened with the internet opening all over the world, that something I could watch, that something very important is happening also on the aspect of man relating to God. So we had all these cycles, which some lasted for thousands of years, some hundreds of years. So we had first be afraid of God, then have major religions devoting and choosing the life for us in our behalf. Then we went to Illuminism, and then everybody started to combine the signs together with God. And what I could see after the 60 to go to something that is very close, where all we were running for gurus and with flowers in our hands, that also that cycle is definitely close as well. Something that the internet brought, it brought a kind of common sense of sharing. It's like for the first time, all the cell of this brain that connects to God can somewhere interact. I can say whatever, I can see whatever, and I can share whatever. And somewhere, somehow, I'm up in the open. And everybody else can connect. These blogs that are working now, the workout cycle, I don't know if everybody follows, especially in the religious way, in a psychological way, on a spiritual way. Somebody start to train, and you see how all people react. And I'm really, really surprised how powerful and profound this wave goes to people. It's like people are allowed to liberate themselves. So they don't need any more a religious guidance. They don't need any more a guru. They don't need any more a politician really that's guiding your life. And we saw with the, maybe it was just a coincidence, maybe the Arab Spring and what was happening all over the world, it's a kind of form of total, complete liberation. How much this dictator can still keep us down? Not so much. So I think what they thought was the new era of the Aquarium, the new age, it's really coming.
I mean, Aquarius.
Aquarius. And Aquarius. India, what's the India coming now? The Sattva Yuga, it's really very in transition. We are just getting to a world where everybody, the new cycle will bring that everybody has a little bit of the right hand of everything. I'm partial. It's not anymore like a big plan and we hold watch and going. Now it's a big plan with all strings and everybody's attached. And it's okay, let's move this direction. We do all these newsletters. I was surprised, I think you did too, when a certain moment the government wanted to change something a few months ago. And there was a total revolt from like not having freedom on internet and just
right.
implement, you remember this better than I did.
And SOPA.
Exactly.
The legislation.
That was the first time that people, just people, you and I and everybody else said no. And they do this in a spiritual
yeah.
way. The cycle is really changing. People take spirituality in their hands.
Power of the people.
The first
it's
real
happening.
Democracy is happening by itself. So that's what I think there are new artists coming. There are new politicians coming. It's your interview with some of them, which is quite amazing, maybe. That helps that cycle. The man is into cycle like
mm-hmm.
nobody else. And I
Rocky
think
Anderson.
It's exactly Rocky Anderson. I wanted to leave to you
yeah.
and mention him. And I think if you just, no matter how difficult and hard seems to be the world, we are in a fantastic time. And I'm very grateful to be part of it. That's
yeah.
how I feel, how I take part of the cycle. Because cycle can be also something that, oh, these cycles, they're happening there. The vortexes there are not really, no, now you have a possibility, even your little house with your little internet connection. I'm part of the spiral. Everything spins. I'm in. I'm one of this. You know,
yeah.
it's going to happen. In 10 years, we're going to do the election at home. We're pushing a button. We're going to say, this is our president. This is not our president. It's going to happen more and more. Who is going to stop this? It's very hard already for all the government to put down this old, you know, what
yeah.
they call anarchy. Broach out, because when they call anarchy, it's like you want to stop the cycle. It's dictatorship, like...
Yeah. Like going back to the ocean of the
right.
Those points are very well made, and if I may say...
Please do.
Through my multi-year relationship with David Katzmeyer, who I'll introduce you to later, I learned a lot about the nature of cycles, and I didn't have to go to India for it. And in reality, I utilize Dave's chalorhythmic patterns that he's identified.
Wonderful.
And while I'm not completely familiar with them, I'm reasonably. And to the extent that I am, I see that things move, the intellectual cycle, the emotional cycle, the physical cycle, and the spiritual cycle, and have come to really understand that this is a very real part of our lives. And so when I think about something you were talking about, when I go up, the upsurgence of what we refer to as the Arab Spring, it's no mistake that it's called spring. It wasn't just called an Arab uprising. It happened in the springtime, which is the power of emergence, of new growth. And we have this in Chinese energetics as well. It's the time of the opening of the egg. The springtime, the liver energy rising. And this is very powerful. So in other words, the entire, you could say, evolution of revolution happening politically and economically, despite appearances, is linked in to the seasons. There's a spring, there's a summer, there's a fall, and there's a winter of our energy as it's, in a sense, docked to these cycles, intellectual and emotional.
The seasons.
Does that make sense, Dave?
Well,
it makes
much,
sense to me,
much.
And it is a spring.
And when you have when Paul finishes, if you have a minute, please introduce for us.
I will do so.
Because he's always in the shadow, and it's one
it
of the biggest.
It is my pleasure to do that.
Yes.
Great. I've been helping for lunch
and
for
the center
a
of the
time.
Diet. I'm the whole of the donut, you guys.
Yeah.
The hub.
I was going to say that the seasons, I think then since we are here taping in the on the corner of the Museum of Natural History, and we have that beautiful planetarium there, where we are able to see from the outside the planetarium our universe.
Yeah.
And I believe, along with the moons and the sun and Mother Earth and so on and so forth, that all of these kinds of things are sort of based upon us turning and and that the so it's almost much more than us being here on planet Earth. It's really being having some kind of understanding. It's from NASA, all right, our business card, and everybody's NASA picture. They pay taxes, they pay for this, and so that realm of our reality, our understanding of what's happening outside of Mother Earth, that also is quite cyclic, I believe, as well. Yes.
It truly is. It absolutely is. And we don't always realize that because, you know, the mind is like the eye. The eye can see every part of the body except itself. So we really realize ourselves through introspection, through reflection. But when we look around us and we see the cycles and everything around us, we do realize that there are ties in the affairs of man. So as we go ascended awareness and everything, and we have a little bit more emotional intelligence, we can find that out. And as you said, there's a spontaneity of life. And Franco, you pointed out that there is a group spontaneity now. Why are so many things happening at the same time? So many dictators are falling all over the world. The Irish Spring, liberation for women, the emergence of China, which was once called the Sleeping Dragon. Do you ever hear that term anymore? Liberations in many countries in Africa, that there were military dictatorships, yet there is liberation going on there. And don't underestimate India. There is a wonderful transformation because sometimes the smart will lead, sometimes the strong will lead, and sometimes the spirit will lead. What we're coming out of now, the time where might made right, but we outfelt our own sense, that ain't no more. Where we're going now is a new age of reason and a new age of romanticism. And I love hearing what you all say because it is all happening at one time. A quantum entanglement, a spontaneity, an interconnectedness of us all.
Right. Talking about quantum entanglement, I had Dean Radin on A Better World Radio some years ago who wrote the book Entangled Mind and Works from the Institute of Noetic Sciences. And he helped to elucidate the meaning of entanglement from a point of view of quantum physics,
yeah.
All of which completely relates to the idea of cycles. And so, as Franco invited me to, I do want to say a word about you because you won't.
We like David.
Ladies and gentlemen, the show is stacked.
Dr. David Katzmeier actually is the innovator of and discoverer of this idea and namer of colorisms, which you were just referring to a piece of what you helped to uncover. And I really like to put it that way. You really helped to uncover an existing understanding that others hadn't yet come to understand until you helped to make it conscious from the subconscious, from the unconscious to the conscious. This way of our lives, essentially biorhythms made macro.
Yes, absolutely.
That's really what it is.
It is.
So as you were just saying, we are now at a approaching a physical low,
yeah,
which no longer allows brawn to rule. During the G.W. Bush era and before, it was very powerfully brawn over brain. And it was perfect that he was president because he had no brain. Well, we can discuss that later. Don't get too political.
Kinder, more gentler.
Well, that was another Bush, but in any event,
it came from the same place.
It's an interesting symbol, if you would, I could say. But in fact, the physical low was present then, but now, as I've learned from you, Dave, according to colorisms, the emotional and the intellectual cycles are moving upward, which allows for an increased experience of an expression of compassion,
right,
understanding.
Yes.
Empathy,
yeah,
and sympathy. So it becomes, like Franco, you were saying about group experience, and that's what's going on. The importance of the collective and the cooperative. And Dave, you know, it really should be said to everybody, all of you out there, to know that David Katzmeier is the discoverer and uncoverer of something we call algorithms, and it really is this elegant design of understanding how, not just on a personal level, but on a collective level and on a nation level, we can understand the ebb and flow, no pun intended, of the way we rise and fall and the way our cultures move forward. according to the understanding of these cycles.
When we understand the cycles of life, we realize that there really is a holographic universe. To understand anything anywhere is to give you a little understanding of everything everywhere.
Right.
I mean, is it little wonder that Blake spoke of seeing the entire universe in a single grain of sand? And I'm glad you brought that up, because I myself is not going to promote my site at kalahytms.org. That's kalahytms.org.
What? How'd you spell it?
kalahytms.
One more time.
But it really is.
No, and Kala, which you are, it just shows another example of your, the breadth of your intelligence and understanding, is the word in Sanskrit for time.
It is
so. You're talking about the rhythms of time.
Well, I will make a little mention of that. Ka is ancient Egyptian for energy. Kala is Sanskrit for time. And Kala rhythms are the changes of energy through time. And when I was seeking to find answers to some of the things that I saw really in an instant, I asked the scholars around me. I read the books in the libraries, and I didn't find any answers. So I started the research, and it was the ancients that provided the answers. And very often when I got into Sanskrit, I realized that not only was there someone who had seen what I had seen, but they had a name for it. How wonderful it is to realize that something that you had discovered is not original. The idea that what is here is elsewhere, top pharmacy, is not original. The Sufis talked about the macrocosm and the microcosm. Rumi spoke of that, and there are so many examples that are replete of that. I merely applied it to biorhythms.
But you know, the ancients in India who had that revelation, they've had it to, after imbibing huge amounts of hashish.
Is the cycle for I noticed the cycle for hashish right now has been pretty low.
some people say soma, but.
It was definitely hallucinogenic.
Some are more?
Some are more.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Well, Baba Muktananda had something to say about hallucinogens. He was asked this. There's a book out called Satsangs with Baba. Satsangs with Baba for Muktananda. And he was asked about hallucinogens, like LSD. Can you really have, can you see God when you're on acid? This is the guru. This is the Swami. You know what he said?
No.
He said yes.
Really?
But he said, when you are doing hallucinogens and psychotropics, it is possible to have a moment of realization, but it hurts the subtle body. You know, the subtle body is as fragile as a spout, as a web. And you can pass your hand across that and tear it very easily. But meditation will also give you a path to realization. And let you see God, as it were. And that could be a question. That could be a show. What is God?
Well, Terence McKenna.
But it'll never, let me conclude with one thing, though, with that, which is the point of why I'm quoting Baba, is that he said, meditation will never, ever hurt you. And doing psychotropics, doing LSD, it can hurt the subtle body. And with that in mind, this narrator right here does not do anything. I heard those words. And this boy ain't doing nothing except meditating. And I advise you all to look into the works of Baba Muktananda and find out more.
I would also recommend that you look into the works of Tim Leary and Terence McKenna.
Oh, I did. Oh, yeah.
My suggestion is that people do some really good research into entheogens, as they are called.
Theos, of course, from the ancient Greek, and gen, also from the Greek, meaning genesis, genetic, and the origin of God being imbued, embedded in a sacred plant. And you could be sitting on a cushion for a long time before you have any experience of what you would call God. But using one of these sacred plants, you might have that experience in a matter of 30 minutes. So I'm not recommending that people do that, but I am suggesting they do research it and realize that God put them on the planet as much as they put on, you know, carrots and broccoli and everything else. So that I think in this universe, there's a place for everything. Moderation, however, is the key. And a little hurt could also bring a tremendous amount of pleasure. So what's a hole or two when you're really going for God? That's how I think about it. But
I have to concur in some ways, having read Timothy Leary and Ron Dawson, having met Terrence McKenna, who you've had on your show,
in fact,
by the way.
We met through Terrence.
We met through a lecture at Terrence. In fact, at a break during his lecture, I went up to him, and I told him about my theory. He liked the theory and invited me to go to lunch with him so that we could talk. So we went to lunch, and we sat side by side.
We were
about 14 people followed us to lunch and sitting around the table. You were sitting on the other side of the table. And you came up to me afterwards, and pardon me, folks, I'm going to tell the story, but you said, you know, I thought what you were saying was more interesting than what Terrence was saying. And I debuted the announcements of what I had been working on, Just Thinking, for so many years on A Better World TV and on A Better World Radio. But I found the works of Terrence to be absolutely fascinating.
Yes,
absolutely.
You know, not to get too esoteric here, I don't want to, you know, dominate this, just to say that we were at a workshop with Terrence McKenna, who sort of took over after Tim Leary and wrote Food of the Gods, The Invisible Landscape, and a whole bunch of other stuff. He and his brother went down to the Amazon. His brother was a psychopharmacologist, and they were doing ayahuasca with the shamans. And that was the basis of his work. But he then came up with this really brilliant software program called Time Wave Zero. And that was the basis of the workshop. And that's where Dave and I met. Dave's work in colorism, which is why I turned to you and said, was more interesting than Terrence's work. Now, in that regard, Terrence is a brilliant man with much to bring to the table and for whom I have great respect. But on the level of understanding time cycle, you demand.
Well, it's just a window. I thank you for saying that. But really, what's fascinating when you learn about colorism, it's just a window into our lives. And so the story is us. It's a look at how we move in cycles. And Paul, you know, you've been in media and entertainment and everything since the 1960s. And any one of us who's over 50 years old have really seen some dramatic changes in the culture around us, from the hippie movement to the disco era to Generation X to the new spiritual movement into, well, whatever it is we're in now. We'll name it in the next decade. We always give the decade before a name. But Paul, have you noticed that things are moving in entertainment and media and news and everything like that? It's reflecting our lives and cycles in this fast-changing world of America?
Well, you know, I've talked, I know, about that over some time. I mean, technology has improved with the ability to watch what we're doing right here, right now. Possibly live anywhere in the world that has a proper connection, as a, you know, satellite or
the world
phone or phone line. So, I mean, that's magnificent and gives everybody who has that to them, not everybody does, but for the many that do, a new opportunity to watch, you know, a couple of guys talking about cycles here. And so, and schmoozing about cycles, and that's a great opportunity for communicating. You know, I think it just as, you know, it keeps growing, and, you know, maybe eventually everybody will just have a little something in their body that cooks them into everybody else, you know, like that. Walkie-talkie kind of a thing.
Instantaneous communication. What's that joke? Two psychics walking down the street, they run into each other, and one says, "You're fine, how am I?" Franco, you have a wonderful play that's coming up in August, which people can learn about at thatshowileft.com. And it's a wonderful, wonderful production. I'm not going to say too much about it. I'll let you say whatever you want about it. But I would like to say this much, that in the United States, we're going into a time when there are times when we look forward and there's a time when we look back. What not a lot of people are really aware of right now is that we're entering into a new age of nostalgia. And there's going to be years, the rest of this decade, we're going to be looking back into previous times in our lives. And as we do, we're going to sort the wheat from the chaff, and we are going to cherish that which is good as nostalgia and reform that which needs to be changed. That's what a time of looking back is for. That's why we pull up the drawbridge and go inward. You have a very moving play that looks back on a very interesting event and brings it with an open soul before the audience. And I just want to say that the work that you're producing right now is very much in key with a time, with a very strong need for us to look back with a reformist view, but also in a learning view. That's really how we learn.
Yeah, thank you, David. Thank you for having me here. This is a fantastic discussion so far. What I can say before starting and say what I want to say about the play I'm working with is that no matter what you've done worked, you're a man of heart and profundity and really can understand what's going on in the world and in the heart of people. Otherwise, you wouldn't interview others in this way. You have the words, you have the way to get into it. What I want to say about the play is connecting to the cycle. The play is very much about a simple family, which goes through a tragedy. So the father is an abuser, a sexual abuser, and abuses his own son with the help of his own mother. So it's a tragic, devastating story. Mm. But that's a story that many others said, The story goes so far, there's a surprise at the end of the play, because it's a cathartic way and trick of the two that remain alive, which is the mother and the sister, because his father was convicted later on for what he had done, and he died in jail. That's a true story. Now, I've been working for 3 years on this story with the two, the mother and the sister that survived, and I co-wrote with the sister the play, and we worked for months, and we're now staging this, and we presented to the Fringe Festival. And we had an enormous response because we put the blog on a website, the 40 words, and we have all this kind of emails and all kinds of answers. And the reason is because what I see, it's a cycle that is going through. So what happened when we had this recession, we got this new cycle into the cycle, The people were having less money and they start to be forced to live together in the same house. So for the first time after 50 years, you have the grandmothers living with the mothers and the mothers living with the kids. Now you don't need any more the nanny because the grandmother take care. And somewhere somehow this magic of the grandmother to nursing the little boy and the little girl bring us to some cycle of, you know, life that we forgot. What is important in the play is that this new cycle brought to many people the courage to reveal hidden secrets that are painful for many. Everybody has this old thing going on, always. And most of the problem, you know, those fathers that there is a line in the play that if you would handle better pain, you wouldn't have these fathers all of a sudden waking up in one morning, getting a machine gun, going to supermarket, shoot people, go back, shoot his family, kill himself. So where is it coming from? It comes from mostly, likely, for pressing down all the things you're not supposed to say, you're not supposed to do, you're supposed to be good. That's what this whole play about, what we wrote. You're supposed to be good. You're supposed to be a good American. You never go down. No matter what, you recover. Don't cry. And if you cry, just little. And what you do to cover all this, millions of painkillers, mood stabilizers, mood suppressors. So what happened? This new cycle is bringing courage through the internet. So I've been to many blogs of people that have been abused and they're speaking, no, you've done this. Oh, it's fantastic. That the father was the abuser, living in another country, he participates and he gets into the process. And for the first time, there is a sense of, yes, I'm guilty for that. I can say it and let's move on. And forgiveness is the key role. That's what is the key of our play, forgiveness, because it is so easy when you're so abused to hate for the rest of your life and go in your grave with that hate. And create more hate. What you leave behind, it's hate after hate after hate. What is going to produce? Hate.
Yeah.
Now, if you are able, after you be in such a pain, to forgive will give you that pain and let it go. It's like a boat that you swim in, you pull in the spot, you rope with that hate, and suddenly you let it go and you float on the water. I don't want to be too romantic, but that's exactly how I feel. Those victims that have the courage to come out in those cycles of being hurt, go out and forgive. They just are on another planet, connecting to the play last year. I was making research last year when I was making Yellow Stars, and I came across this famous documentary about those two twins. Those were two twins that survived the Holocaust under Mengele. For some kind of reason, they made experiments on them, and they ate it. And they were walking around in city by city in their 70s, say, this has happened to us. Was horrified, but that's okay. We feel, and they have so much love to share. You know, they were in this meeting, and people were mocking them. They were throwing tomatoes. They were, how can you dare? You forgive, and you forgive on my behalf. Whatever that is, this is change. The cycle is concluding, and people are ready to understand. It's not a religion approach, a spiritual approach, forgiveness, a word on itself. Oh, beautiful. Did I not forgive you? No, it's just like, let it go, because by letting go, you create a new person. In fact, you're reborn. Rebirth is into it. The cycle into your own life. What a best cycle, whatever I intended, whatever I read, what you wrote, to have your cycle into your own lifespan. Because maybe they go, they spin, they hit, and they stay there, or they fall, and they don't finish. And if whoever believes in incarnation, if you do, you've got to come back and pick exactly where you are, like a long play record. You pull out the pin, and then you wait, you born again, boom. The pin is going to be exactly where you left it. So let's do it on this life. This is the new mantra.
Yes.
I learned a lot of this from my master. It's not a secret. Swamiji, I'm looking at that. It's my teacher. Forgiveness is not even a concept. It's the blood of the body of the universe. There's no way. You're there to learn your lesson that you are bidden. You suffer, and how do you do with this? That's the theme of the play in which is trying. I hope everybody can come, and if it's not, hallelujah, but that will be a certain inspiration for everybody.
What was the name of your other play?
One Yellow Are the Stars on
Earth. Magnificent.
Thank you.
Really thought-provoking, and still has an effect on my life.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Because you have to know that after the play, I had some people give me some nice, not so nice email about the fact that the two main characters at the end, they more than forgive, they transcend their hate for each other. And they just, and I got our website, you know, the emails, and people send me some emails. I said, you know, not so nice. But this has changed. This, I would say, can I say this is the old generation?
Yeah.
The new guys, I grew up with the internet. They are very open, more fragile, more. There is a possibility for everybody to work out things much easier. And forgiveness and forgetfulness, if it's that the right word I can use, it's just a kind of a thing.
I would even say, based upon our conversation here, it's cyclic.
Yeah.
You know, yes. We forgive and we forget. And then we remember, and maybe some people were more forgiving too, and other people were not. You know, we are, you know, naked apes, and we're not perfect beings. And we do probably even say things, do things, and so on and so forth. You know, I agree. I think that forgiveness is a beautiful thing, because nobody's perfect. So how could anybody not try to be forgiving to anybody else that's willing to say, I'm sorry, and I haven't really, you know, given my best this situation. And it happens. It happens, especially in our very chaotic, cyclic lifestyle.
I mean, it happens.
You know, yeah, we're really going very, very quickly. You know, and some people say, where do we go? And there's nowhere to go, because we're here on planet Earth, unless someone's trying to figure out a way to go somewhere else physically. You know, so
I don't know.
But it was a beautiful, beautiful play. I hope you bring that back.
Which you can find at yellowstars.org. Information about the play.
It will be for 1 month, in the month of November, uptown at the new theater, Cabrini Repertory Theater.
Yeah, good.
Bravo. I really want to second that call, but I found it wholly moving. And being born as Paul has been Jewish, it was a certain kind of experience for us, perhaps distinct from others, and at the same time, I felt it to be deeply humane and deeply realistic, and it touched chords for us that
and
I'm very close to you guys so much.
Yeah.
So well, for whatever reason, really, I should have been Jewish.
That's why I wanted to.
I should have been Jewish.
That's why I wanted to have you on the radio show to discuss this with.
And then you play. It's a Jewish family. With
well,
Jewish actors,
I am now seeing a certain pattern going on here, and I see that you like to touch upon these deep themes of pain and suffering, which brings humanity together. And then there's liberation. I would like to share, if I may, this notion that we're talking about here so beautifully and love listening to you too. As a therapist working with a lot of couples and individuals, one of the key themes is to make a relationship work is apology, forgiveness, and then there's a third part of the cycle, letting it all go. And it really is a three-legged stool.
Yeah.
You do need the apology, which, by the way, has a side of humility. To apologize is to come to
humble.
A place closer to the ground. And the word humble and humility is related to the word in Greek for earth. So we get closer to the earth, and we
basically
we apologize. And from there, we are forgiven. We ask for forgiveness. And that creates a harmonizing between the people on an energetic level. And then you both agree to let it go. That ship down river, you let it go. And as you're saying, Paul, it will come up again. SH is going to, there's this famous phrase in the New Age world that says, we are divine beings having a human experience. I say, we are mammals trying to have a human experience. You know, I come from the one, I'm a Taurus. I'm coming from below up. And I think that if we can at least be human, then heaven will smile upon us and we'll be fine. But I think that we have to come from below and use our earthy stuff to apologize, the stuff of the emotions of the heart. Anyway, I just wanted to
go ahead. I wanted to add it about the process of the play. I was the right person to do it because I never came public. I was a very highly abused child. So at the age of 10, my mother was a working actress and dancer, so she brought me to my grandfather's house. She was alone, and 60 was not so easy to raise me up. And at the age of 7, she picked me up from the boarding school, and she came with this man. This man was my new stepfather. And they made a daughter, my half-sister, and I was living in this family together. For me, that was a nightmare, because this man beat me up every day for no reason, with anything he had, like fists, sticks, anything he had.
Yeah.
So I left the house at the age of 17, and to never come back. And the rage and the hate I had inside after this, it was huge. So I didn't talk to my mother for almost 20 years.
Yeah.
And this man, but in the process of spirituality and going into introspection, I started to see that hate was just actually like drop of little acids that would just destroy my own self.
Mm-hmm.
What could I do? Why could I shed pit in this? And little let it go. And finally, this man was not totally forgiven. And for the blessing of the divine, I love this guy. I understood. I trying to go back. He was himself abused for his own father. He used to beat him up in the basement and put him up and down and beat him on his head. Awful. So he grew up with this whole concept.
Yeah.
And when I was 30, I was together with a woman that has another child. And it was the age of 8. The same age, the cycle.
Yes.
The same age that my stepfather walked into my life.
Yes.
And I had a very difficult relationship with this kid, okay? And I said, this is my test. I was 30, we're speaking about 24 years ago. I was very difficult in this position. And one day, he had a little sister, which was my adopted daughter. And one day, for some reason, he started to beat up the girl.
Mm.
And I was in the room.
Mm.
I remember seeing all red. I was enraging. And I ran with this boy, and I got the boy from his neck, and I put him against the wall. I said, you never do this anymore. And as soon as I'd done, I saw my hand. I was horrified. I just dropped this hand. I said, I just went into the bathroom. I said, that's it.
Yep.
I have to break the circle more than ever. I never touched the boy. But you know, the boy never forgave me. So that's simple. You see how it works?
Yes.
Now, going forward a little bit, years later, my mother and this man split. He gets married with another woman. And I heard that he got a stroke. And he was stolen paralyzed. Now, I made that process with him. I already forgive him, but I never had the chance to see him for the 20 years later. So the first thing, I was in Belgium. I said, this is my chance. I took the plane and I go there and I went visiting to the hospital. They told me that this man was all the time, it's just kind of screaming wildly. And they thought it's the pain. There was something psychological going on. It looked like he was going through what he had done in his life.
Mm-hmm.
And beating me was not the only thing. He had done some very other nasty thing. And he was having all the guilt coming out.
Yes.
So sadly, I walked into the hospital. Look, it sounds like a movie. That's what it is. I opened the door. And I walk in, and the moment he sees me, this man, it's just silent. And I walk next to him. And I remember vividly that all this love was coming out of me. And just I hugged him. I took his head in my hand, and I whispered to his ear. And I said, I truly, truly believe me. I forgive you, and I do love you. Nothing is on the screen. He completely quiet down. And he never complained anymore. He's been now completely stuck in his wheelchair for another 50 years, speaking about punishment and cycles.
Yeah.
And I go there almost every year. When I go there, we have the best friend of the presence, and he hugs me. It's for me, you see what I mean? It's not only for him. And that's what is the meaning of the play, of the other play too.
Yes.
The cycle that I was fortunate I could make. I hope others that here can just do their effort. Everybody has a brother, a sister, somebody, we know. Everybody has something to say.
I'd like to share, if it's okay.
Sure.
Quickly, I don't have much more.
We have a little time.
But I'd like to share something that I tried my best to do. And I stepped out for a second, but we're talking about forgiveness. I am very, in my mind, forgiveness needs to... In almost all situations, needs to occur as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can die.
Yeah.
And because we can die, and because we could not be here tomorrow to be able to say, I'm sorry, I did. So the second that you, even if you're not 100% sure, you're still upset, because with anger, you're blind.
Yeah.
And the sooner you say it, maybe someone won't accept it, but I think it's very helpful. I mean, they say forgiveness sets you free, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the sooner you can forgive, I mean, we all heard about these family situations over this and over that, and they haven't talked. How many times have people heard, they haven't talked in 20 years? They haven't talked. I mean, what are you kidding me?
Yeah.
It's actually one of the temple DJ over here, and somebody was saying, I can't do that, I can't do that, and they said, why? Because, 1,000 years ago, they didn't do it like that. So the mother said to the son, it said, forget about it. 2,000 years ago. you're living today.
Oh, yeah.
You're whatever. And I will also say, because you brought up the religious thing.
Yeah.
Yes, I was born Jewish. I live Jewish. Mm-hmm. I'm an interfaith minister and a spiritual minister. Mm-hmm. And I am a homo sapien before I'm a Jew.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a homo sapien before I'm an American. I'm your brother. I'm your, related. And I think that also is another. So there are two suggestions I think in life. Is try to forgive as soon as possible, because you're probably missing a lot of good times.
Mm.
And good times are what it's all about.
Absolutely.
And then secondly, these materialistic titles or physical titles or whatever we call these titles, religion, country and things like this, you know. In Yiddish, I will say they're buckets to a certain degree. I'm not disrespecting anybody for them, but in essence, they're not our essence, my thinking. We're homeward. We're in the same animal family, and we should act in that manner and respect in that manner. So that's what I wanted to share in my beliefs.
And let's not forget that in the process of forgiving, the first thing we should forgive is ourselves.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't forgive myself to be the victim for some reason. I was in doubt for years. I was always told when I was beaten, you're a bad boy. You just worth nothing. You just mean nothing. And I engraved this in myself. And I, somewhere in the back of my mind, I always felt like that, not forgiving myself to be that way and just become a failure. That I had to remove. Even every victim has a part of forgiveness first to give to their own self, no matter what.
Right. And I think also, I'll just throw it quickly, sure. It's going to you. That's also cyclical. That's also cycles.
Absolutely.
You know, you forgive yourself because you realize you should forgive yourself.
Right.
You deserve to forgive yourself.
Heaven's
you weren't that bad.
That's right.
I love me.
This was a misunderstanding.
Yeah, I love me.
It's not. Don't make too much of it. Let's not make a mountain out of a molehill, okay?
Jeez.
To pick up on the theme that you bring up here, Paul, I think is very important, which is the one of time. And that is that there's no time like now. It's not when, as it is said, right? In the old Talmudic notion. And Nietzsche said, live as though the day were here. So the day we're here, of course, that suggests our material physical passing. So it recapitulates what you're saying, Paul, of the importance of realizing that we might be angry or that we feel that we have been abused or taken advantage of or something like that. Get clear about it. Get sober and awake about it really fast. And ask for apology when necessary. Ask for forgiveness. And as you so well put it, Franco, of oneself first and foremost. And so my big word, honestly, is in addition to apology, I've got a lot to apologize for in reality and a lot to be forgiven for too, is love. And when love begins here at home, not to sound trite and trivial about it, that energy creates an atmosphere that allows everything else to flow.
Start in your own yard. Start in your own yard.
The biggest change, as the Chinese said, starts at home. So,
Michael Jackson said the same thing.
Well, he took it from the Chinese. Comes with the food.
Yeah.
My goodness. Forgiveness. Love. Coming together. This has been a learning experience for me, talking about what are the cycles of life. You start out talking about the cycles of the moon, the tides of the ocean, behavior of subatomic particles, and so forth. And where did we wind up? We wind up in finding the cycles in our lives are not physics and are not mathematical formulas that we can write with algebraic equations. We find that they are manifest in our experiences. And it leads us to love, forgiveness, and coming together. All spokes lead to the center of the wheel. And the wheel is the cycle of life complete everywhere. So let us remember that whatever we see anywhere, we're going to see manifest in our lives. In the tides and the affairs of man, we can break the cycle of violence by forgiving. We can have a cycle of love, a new cycle in our lives as we differentiate beyond our comfort zones sometimes to break into something new. But there is always a spring. There's springs in the world. We're seeing them now. They life. We've got to remember there's a fractal relationship, an interconnectedness to the universe, and a holographic realm of cycles within and without. And time and again, they come back to love, realization, and each other. The wise man told me, all we are is what we are for each other. Let us remember that. So, Mitchell Raven of A Better World TV, I thank you for joining us tonight.
My pleasure.
Paul Slapkus of GoodNewsPlanet.com, thank you for being here. Franco Moschetti of yellowstars.org and thatishowileft.com. Thank you for joining and sharing your perspectives, because from three different points of view, we arrived at one point: forgiveness, love. Let us be, let that be our way. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dave.
That's a wrap, boys.
Okay.
Good. Yeah, before you move, guys, can I say something? I think what is happening here is something that people really want to hear. I suggest this is a kind of fantastic Fab Four.
It is. A Fab Four.
That's what it is. We should do maybe once in a month, just with a scope, to give our words to those few that they hear. Because this simple philosophy we are dealing, like every day, we know, you know, being so high about it. That's what people are looking for. They look for this answer. They may have it here. Let's do it once in 2 months. You know what I mean?
I'm okay. I have a TV studio also.
I want you all to know, when I sent the email about this panel on whatever cycles of life, as you suggested, I got more likes on my website and more followers on Twitter than any other show that I announced.
Oh, wow. So the Fab Four are on.
I think so. We should do it.
Yes,
at least every other.